Amen. Tommy.
Good evening. Thank you for listening. As Toby said, I've chosen a nice light topic in Islam. I believe it's a really important topic, mostly because there are so many Muslims in the world. There's an estimated 1.6 billion Muslims worldwide, which makes up almost a quarter of the world's population. In the UK alone, there's almost 3 million Muslims. As Toby said, it's in the news quite a lot. Bad things are done in the name of Islam. Not every Muslim is a bad person. I believe understanding other people's beliefs can really open up conversations about faith. I gained interest in Islam quite a long time ago. When I was a little kid, my mum felt called to befriend Muslims when we lived in Manchester. Back then, racism was a much bigger issue, still is today, but and so Muslims didn't feel, they didn't feel part of society, and my mum made it her mission to befriend them. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give a very brief introduction to Islam, and then there are three, like a good Baptist minister, there's three areas of areas of faith that I sort of want to compare Islam with Christianity. So very briefly, Islam was founded by Muhammad. He lived between 570 AD and 632 AD. Muhammad is believed to be a prophet and messenger of Allah. Allah is the name that Muslims give their God. The Quran is the central text of Islam. It represents the words of Allah revealed to Muhammad through the Archangel Gabriel. Muslims worship Allah, who they believe is the one and only God. They believe in the absolute oneness of God. The unicity of God is central to the Islamic faith. So the Trinity to them is effectively blasphemous. Allah is he's all-knowing, he's self-sufficient, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-hearing, etc. Much like Yahweh. I'll refer to the God of the Bible as Yahweh and the God of Islam as Allah, just to keep the two separate. Now, the first area I'd like to look at is God's love for mankind. In the Quran, we learn that Allah loves those who do good, those who are kind, the pure and the clean, the righteous, the just, those who trust Allah, those who are persevering or patient, those who love Allah and follow the Prophet Muhammad, and those who fight in his cause. But we also learn from the Quran that Allah does not love the following. He does not love transgressors, those who are ungrateful and wicked creatures, those who reject faith, those who do wrong, the arrogant, the vainglorious, those given to excess, wasters, and the treacherous. So in Islam, Allah's love is predicated upon the Muslim's performance and obedience. So to gain Allah's love, you must do good works. And that is in stark contrast to Yahweh's love, which is unconditional. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read that it says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So God loves us first, and it's down to us how we respond to that love. Yahweh loves everyone. He loves the righteous. He loves the unrighteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Christ died for the ungodly." And in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.'" I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, Toby, I think it was last week. Did you do a sermon last week? Was it in the morning? He talked about love, and he said, how does one know that somebody loves you? Because it's quite easy for somebody to say, I love you, but it's only when they demonstrate that love through sacrifice of sacrificing their time, their money, their well-being, or even going as far as sacrificing their life. And we have a God that has demonstrated his love. Yahweh sent his only son as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And there is no greater demonstration of love than that. In Islam, there is no equivalence to that. Allah has not made any such sacrifice for mankind. Now, the second point I'd like to look at is grace and mercy. The Quran teaches us that all our deeds, good or evil, will be weighed in balance, and our eternal destiny is based on whether or not our good deeds outweigh bad ones. So the Quran says, the weighing on that day will be the true weighing. Those whose scales are heavy will prosper, and those whose scales are light will be the losers, for they are the ones who have been unjust to our signs. And also I found a quote from an Islamic website, and it says this, thus a man's success in the hereafter requires that his good acts outweigh his evil ones to such an extent that even if his evil acts cause the effacement of some of his good acts, he should still have enough left in his credit to ensure his scale is inclined towards the positive. As for the man whose evil acts outweigh his good acts, he will be like the bankrupt businessman who, even after spending all his assets, remains under the burden of debt. Again, this is very different from the God that we believe in. Yahweh has shown mercy on us, not because we are righteous, but because he loves us. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Everyone here has fallen short of the glory of God, but God, through his Son, has shown grace and mercy and washed all our sins. So for a Muslim will never know if their salvation is guaranteed. When they get to the end of their life, they have to make sure there's still enough credit in their bank to get to heaven. Whereas for Christians, we don't have that worry, because we know that the debt has been paid up in full. And I think that's absolutely amazing. The third and final area I'd like to look at is the relationship with God, the relationship between God and man. Reading various Islamic sources, the Quran and other sources, we learn that Allah is unknowable and impersonal. Man must submit to Allah. So it's a sort of a master-slave relationship rather than a father-child relationship. The word Islam actually means submission. In Islam, it is considered blasphemous to presume to know God or claim any sort of close personal fellowship with Allah. And Allah reveals only his will, never himself. That's in stark contrast to Yahweh. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible tells us that, the Bible says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God has made us like him so that we can have a relationship with him. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it starts, our Father in heaven. So we refer to God as our Father. And God has revealed himself through Christ, and he sent us his Holy Spirit to be with us and to abide in us. So there's a very close relationship between us and God. So in conclusion, I believe that Muslims, like all who do not know Christ, are lacking the love of Christ in their life. I think it's really important that we befriend Muslims where we can, and we love them the way that Christ loves us. We have a great and glorious God who desires a close and personal relationship, who truly loves us so much so that he sent his only son to die for all our sins, and a God who wants to be with us. Amen.
Stay there, Thomas. Stay there, please. Stay there. Thank you very much indeed, Tom.